This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The British government removes a layer of pandemic support today. The question now is the economy strong enough to stand on its own two feet? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The UK economy grew 5.5% between April and June as lockdown restrictions eased and people spent more than they saved. Now, with signs of strength appearing, the British government today is winding down 18 months of unprecedented worker support. The furlough scheme subsidized more than 11 million people in sectors shut down by lockdowns. The program is estimated to have cost taxpayers about $90 billion, but it's been widely praised for protecting millions of jobs. Still, companies in sectors where business has not yet returned to normal say they still need more support. The BBC's Ben Thompson has that story.
Here at Gatwick, there aren't many planes and there's not much activity. I'm surrounded by warehouses that handle post, cargo and catering. It's a reminder that not all airport jobs are pilots, cabin crew or baggage handlers. And I'm here to meet Michael and Emma. They're off furlough and back at work. They look after the pets and animals before they're allowed to board a plane.
We still aren't anywhere near to capacity of what we was doing before furlough.
You just don't know what you're doing from one day to the next. You could be coming in just for 10 minutes work just to get something in, and then, you know, there's no point sticking around because that's all you've got for the day.
With few planes, there are even fewer pets. And so what happens if traffic doesn't return to pre-pandemic levels? Mark Andrews, the boss.
For us, the firm easily do a month 500 odd animals through this facility under the pet scheme. This year we've done 100, so it's a big difference still. And we've explained that the next 3 months, although they have a job, they're coming back, that after that period we may well have to make some decisions, which, you know, we don't want to. Our staff have been absolutely fantastic.
We've jumped in the car and driven about 2.5 miles south now to Crawley. The shops, bars and restaurants here are almost entirely reliant on one business, the airport.
Okay, thank you.
That's all right.
That's Davina. When she was made redundant in 2012, she bought the sewing shop that she now runs. It's faced tough times before, but nothing quite like this.
Saturday, it was just so dead in here. I mean, isn't helped by the fuel situation, obviously.
Give me a sense of who would normally come in here.
Pilots down to cleaners, travel staff on the planes. We've taken in, taken up, or put stripes on their jackets.
Davina's story is repeated all over Crawley and the surrounding area. Furlough may have helped protect millions of livelihoods in the short term, but what happens to them next is far from certain.
That's the BBC's Ben Thompson reporting there. Checking the numbers now. The British pound is holding steady near a 9-month low on worries about higher inflation as a fuel crisis continues here. The FTSE 100, meanwhile, is up 0.5%, leading gains across Europe. When the race to develop a COVID-19 vaccine began last year, a 20-year-old company in southwestern Germany was thought to be uniquely positioned to deliver one. CureVac was the first to use messenger RNA technology in medicine, and that's now been deployed in the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. But CureVac's first-generation vaccine fell well short of the efficacy rates achieved by its competitors, and it hasn't yet been able to put one on the market. I sat down with the company's boss, Franz Haas, in the company's Tübingen headquarters, where he told me he's not giving up, and he believes a partnership with GlaxoSmithKline is helping.
We had some preclinical studies, so non-human studies, where we clearly have been seeing huge differences. When we started last year, there was not that much known about the virus, but also seeing the different variances who kicked in. When we started, there was Wuhan all over, And when we've been in South America at the end, there was only 3% of Wuhan left. So this knowledge is going to be on the development of the second generation as well. But there is certainly an entire program thereafter as well, what we're doing with GSK, that even think about to have multivalent vaccines, that you're putting different kind of mRNA strains in the same vaccine with different kind of variants, or later on to combine it with flu, for example, that you have got your yearly flu shot, and one piece of that one is also giving you corona next version virus protection. So that's exactly how the way of vaccinating the world is now most probably going to be.
You mentioned the partnership you have with GlaxoSmithKline. Do you think partnering with them sooner would have allowed you to have a vaccine that's more effective at this stage?
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, when we started this entire endeavor, we have been 450 people. Now we are 750 people. But to organize a clinical trial, to run a clinical trial, which at the end of the day also included 40,000 subjects to be included globally in a time where you are not allowed to travel. You can imagine that this is a huge logistics, but also a lot of experience and expertise you need to put into. We have never, and all the other mRNA companies also have never, been doing these kind of phase 3 trials globally. And so you need a lot of manpower, but also a lot of expertise of people who have been doing it.
Do you worry that your vaccine won't reach the required efficacy for approval?
We see that the efficacy between 18 and 50-60 year is pretty good with all the variants. The other thing is we are working on the second generation, and it is a question of time. The later this approval is going to happen, certainly the less impact it has. And then certainly we have to take the decision, are we going to swap over full speed only in the second generation and concentrate on this one?
More questions for CureVac boss Franz Haas tomorrow, including what difference becoming a public company has had on research and development efforts. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.